Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for just the blessed assurance that is ours, believers in Christ Jesus. We have a future. We're looking forward to the day when the trump will sound and the shout, the voice calling us home. And Lord, we would just ask that that might be sooner rather than later. We pray, Lord, that you might come quickly. These times are getting so wicked in which we find ourselves. Our society has lost all sense of propriety, right and wrong. Some of the simplest truths our society can't even keep straight anymore. Lord, we're headed for destruction. We find ourselves as your witnesses in these days, and I pray that you would strengthen us with might in the inner man, that we would stand fast whenever and wherever we can, proclaiming, defending your truth. I pray tonight, as now we've set our hymnals down and we pick up our Bibles, in the time that remains, stir our hearts, minister to us as we look at some tremendous truth in Scripture. So well known to us, but unknown by multitudes. Get the glory in it, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. The title of this one, Andrew, is I Know That. I Know That. We're taking another look this evening at something we know. I shared with you this morning, how many more times are we going to do that? Are we going to change topics, move in another direction? I don't know that. But I did want us again this evening to take another look at something we know. And our text for Scripture would be Psalm 100, verse 3. Psalm 100, verse 3 says, Know ye that the Lord, He is God, it is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. You know that, don't you? Of course we do. And we look at this and we say, that's a no-brainer for us that know the Lord, we're in His Word. Of course, we know that the Lord, Jehovah, that's the all capital letters, the L-O-R-D. Jews refer to it as Yahweh. They felt the name was too sacred to pronounce, and so they just give the Yahweh the four Hebrew letters that you put together, that in English it's Lord, and they just look at those four letters and it's the Hebrew pronunciation of those four letters together. Know ye that the Lord, Jehovah, He is God. I thought I might just take a minute and look at this word. This revelation of Himself in Scripture as Jehovah. It's the first time you find it is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day. And this is the first time you see Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God, made the earth and the heavens. What does this word Jehovah mean? And I grabbed a hold of a thesaurus before the evening service. And it's not a thesaurus. Not a concordance. It's better yet. No. If I think of the word, I'll just blast it out when I think of it. But right now, it's not a thesaurus is the one where it gives you all the things that are very similar, you know. Nope. Whatever. Anyway, let's just move on. The source for the Old Testament words, and I looked up, pardon? Lexicon, there you go. It's the Old Testament lexicon, and I looked up the Hebrew word, which is translated Jehovah, or Lord, L capital O-R-D. And some of the different, what does Jehovah mean? Do you know? Pardon?
God saves.
God saves. God with us. Well, in looking at the lexicon, I was interested to discover that there is some, like many things in Scripture, different scholars have different suggestions. And in reading that, I was interested in this sentence or two as it was giving. Some scholars think this Lord means this. Some think it means that. For instance, some think it means giver of existence or creator. One who causes to fall, like rain or lightning. But what caught my attention was this. Most take it to mean this. What does Lord? I am the Lord God. Most take it to mean the one who is. The one who is. In other words, the absolute and unchangeable one. The existing, ever-living Lord. No beginning, no ending, just existing one. I am the Lord. And it's interesting that it does come up so quickly there in Genesis chapter 2, verse 1. More suggestion. The one ever coming into manifestation as the God of redemption. The one ever coming into manifestation as the God of redemption. Well, tonight, actually, we're not looking at something we know. Tonight, we're going to be, tweak that just a little bit. We're going to be talking about someone we know rather than something we know. Someone we know. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. And what I've done with this verse is I have just dissected it a little bit. For you note takers, we're going to have four parts to it tonight. And the first part is very simple. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Know ye that the Lord, He is God. And it's my purpose this evening just to do a lot of searching in Scripture. Is there a problem with that? Is that going to be something that might be helpful? Something that would solidify some of our beliefs? to be able to go to Scripture and say, you know, it's not just one verse, know ye that the Lord, He is God, here in Psalm 100, but to be able to go to reference after reference and see that supported, solidified. So we're going to look at a lot of references this evening. I hope your Bibles are well broken in. If they're not, they will be in a few minutes, because we're going to have you looking at some references. Having said that, let's go to Psalm 46, verse 10. On my notes, it's Psalm 46, verse 0. That can't be right. There is no verse 0. It's 10. Forgot the little mark on there. Psalm 46, verse 10, a very familiar psalm. And here we see the psalmist says, be still. And what? Know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. I think those first words of that verse, the first part of that, I think if ever there are words that would be applicable to believers in the 21st century, I think that would be a good portion. You know, isn't it something how busy our lives always are? We're going here, we're going there, we're doing this, we're doing that. We find ourselves living by a schedule. We sometimes don't have hardly time to breathe. And then we wonder why we're worn out. And here in the first part of that 46:10 verse, here's a good word for us. Be still and know that I am God. Much of our activity, I think I would have to confess, is we are trying to make things happen. We get ourselves so busy, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And many times we're throwing up our arms, if not literally, at least, I don't know how I can do this. And the psalmist says, be still. Be still. Know that I am God. Let me show myself strong in your behalf. Flip over a few pages, Psalm 95, verse 3, where it says, the Lord. And notice where it's this Jehovah, L-O-R-D, capital, is what? Not only is He God in our text verse, but what's this tell us about our God? He's a great God, amen? And what else? He is a great King where? Above all gods. That's our God. The one that we saw in our opening verse here, know ye that the Lord, Jehovah, He is God. Here it says He's a king above all gods. I didn't think there were any other gods. Are there, yes or no? There are no gods, but are there things looked to and worshiped and feared as a god? The world is full of them. For instance, when Israel was in Egypt in those 10 plagues, You've heard it said before. Every one of those 10 plagues was against one of Egypt's gods. They worship the water god. And so the Lord told Moses, go take some water and dump it on the ground, and what happens? It becomes blood. They worship the, get this, frog god. They had a frog god. And that's why God said, you want to worship gods? You want to worship frogs? I'm going to give you a couple of them. I'm going to give you a couple of them. And the land was crawling alive with frogs. It was, they jumped in their mixing bowls as they were trying to stir up meals. They slid between the sheets at night to get a good night's sleep. And there was one of those little cold, clammy little rascals under the sheets with them. The whole point, the Egyptians, they worshiped all of those things. And God said, I'm going to bring plagues against your gods. Know ye that the Lord, what? He is a great God, and he's a great king above all gods. Yeah, there are nations, there are peoples that worship any and everything. But you know what? Our God is above them. Isn't that great? Deuteronomy chapter 4. As Israel had pretty much completed their 40 years journey in the wilderness, and it was getting time, it was getting close, it was getting close to the end of Moses' life, when he was going to die and the leadership would be turned over to Joshua. Actually, the whole book of Deuteronomy, it's my favorite of the first five books of the Old Testament. It is like there are so many things in the book of Deuteronomy that are a review of the laws that God has given to his people in those first four books. And we find here in Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses is reminding his people of important truths. Verse 35, unto you it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, Jehovah, he is God. There is none else beside him. That's why God, it says in verse 34, that's why God did what he did in the land of Egypt. To show you that you might know the Lord, he's God. There is none else beside. Look at verse 39. Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord Jehovah, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. You say, Pastor, I know that. Everybody knows that. Everybody does not know that. Do you know how I say that? Ever hear of the prophet Elijah? Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, the nation of Israel, believe it or not, didn't know who God was. And we find they were torn between the false gods of Ahab, King Ahab, and Queen Jezebel, and the gods they wanted the people to worship, and Jehovah. And after 3.5 years of no rain, we find Elijah was sent by God, "You tell King Ahab to meet me up on top of Mount Carmel, and we're going to settle this thing once and for all." And we find that contest that we all know about. They were to all of Ahab's prophets, "You build your altar over here. You build it up, you put the wood on it, and you put the sacrificial animal. Lay it up there. Just don't put a fire under it." And Elijah said, "I'll do the same thing." And he didn't do it first thing in the morning like the false prophets' gods did, or their followers. And here was the whole point. You get everything all ready, just don't put fire to it. In verse 24 of 1 Kings 18, "Call upon the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of the Lord, Jehovah, the God who is." And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, "It's well spoken." And so all day long, there they stood, there they watched. The children of Israel, they didn't really know who to worship. They didn't know who the God was. You say, that's ridiculous. No, that's what sin will do. It blinds the hearts to the truth. And they had so wandered away from the Lord, they weren't sure anymore. And they thought this would be a good thing. We'll finally get to see who the true God is. Who is the true God? Psalm 100, verse 3. "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." And up on Mount Carmel, late in the day, the Lord proved for the eyes of all the people up there, as Elijah at the end of the day built up the altar of God that had been all broken down because they had stopped worshiping Jehovah. And so they had to set the stones back in place. He took the wood, he put the sacrificial animal on it, and then he threw in one little challenge. He said, "I want you to dig this trench around it." And they did that, and he said, "I want you to start pouring water on that animal." And they poured water, and the water fell down through the animal, the wood, the rocks, until that little trench was full to the brim with water. Water doesn't burn, does it? But that water did. When Elijah just simply said, "Lord, these people, they're confused. They don't know who God really is. Would you glorify your name? Would you let them see the reality of you?" And fire came down and consumed the animal, the wood, the rocks. Do rocks burn? Those did. And the water all around it. You see, we think this is a given. Well, pastor, big deal. Here, I came Sunday night to look at some of the things we know. I know that. I want you to tell me something else. Well, not everybody knows it. They didn't, and they had to be taught. Note takers, jot down John chapter 17, verse 3, and Acts 17, 23 and 24. The rest of us are going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 19. You've all heard of King Hezekiah, haven't you? One of Judah's good kings, and there was an ungodly king by the name of Sennacherib. Sennacherib. That'd be a good name to name a child. Sennacherib. Anyway, Sennacherib was making all kinds of threats, and the sad thing of it is, these threats were true. What do you mean by that, Pastor? In 2 Kings 18, look at verse 17 we start with. And here's what Sennacherib was saying. Second Kings 19. All right. Let's see here. No. Hezekiah Well, I am sorry. 17, 18, and 19 are not what I wanted. Well, scratch that, note takers. I'm going to have to find what I wanted for you. Really, what Sennacherib was saying was giving a report how that, you know, you say you're trusting in the Lord your God. You know, we have come up against nation after nation, and they were trusting in their gods, and we mowed them down, and your God is no different. And God told Hezekiah, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. And God did. Sorry, I can't find that right there. This is my good... 18. Pardon?
I think that's in chapter 18.
Yeah, I told you 19, didn't I? Shame on me. Okay, 18, 17, right?
I was looking even more into the 20s, but yeah, it is where he's talking about.
Well, I'm sorry. We're just not... It's 19, 17, 18, and 19. Isn't that what I said? But I was looking at chapter 18. This is a great day for this old guy. In 17, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and they have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Sorry for all that confusion. It was the right reference. I had the wrong chapter in front of me. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Number two, it is he that hath made us. It is he that hath made us. Psalm 119, verse 73. 119:73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Your hands have made me. It is he that hath made us. Job chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. Job chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. Here we read, "Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into dust again? You made me, Lord." In Psalm 139, verse 13, we find these words, "You have possessed my reins. You covered me in my mother's wombs." What do you mean, possessed? We're told that word possessed means formed my inward parts. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. It is He that hath made us. Psalm 95, 6. We go back to 95. We were at verse 3, but this time verse 6. "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our" what? "Maker." He made us. "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us." And part three is, "and not we ourselves." Did we have anything to do with who we are? Not so as you can tell it. Psalm 12, 1 through 4 says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fall from among the children of men. They speak vanity," or "foolishly, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Who can stop us? We will do what we want. We will become what we want to be. And there is nobody or being that..." But the psalmist says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves." We don't determine what we are going to become or what is going to happen with our lives. That was the voice of the foolish ones in Psalm 12. In the New Testament, Paul reminded the Corinthians, which we'll be getting to, Lord willing, months down the line, with regards to our bodies. Does it matter what you or I do with our bodies? How come? Pardon? They're not ours. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. "What? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit or ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own?" It's not of ourselves. "You're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." God will do with you and me what He chooses and what is the right thing. And that's what our text says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not..." We did not make ourselves what we are. Anything we are goes to the glory of whom? Glory of the Lord. Anything that is good and honorable goes to the glory of the Lord. And then finally, we are the sheep. We see here... " We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 95, 7. Boy, we're getting mileage out of that Psalm 95, aren't we? But verse 7 says, he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And we need to listen to his voice. Ezekiel 34, 30 and 31. Ezekiel 34, 30 and 31. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord, am their God, and I am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And you, my flock, the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God. Wouldn't it be something if Israel today would come to realize the truth of these two words? They need to know that they are God's people. You say, you still believe that? Of course I do. Israel is his earthly chosen people. God is not done with them. God is not going to allow their enemies to wipe them off the face of the earth. How do I know that? Because his word reveals glorious promises made to his people Israel, that one day God is going to fulfill every one of them. Do you ever pray for Israel? We ought to be. They are God's people. Well, we're his people through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his spiritual people, but the nation of Israel is his earthly people. One last reference in John chapter 10, the Lord in that familiar sheep and shepherd chapter, beginning at verse 14 of John 10, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Beloved, if there's anything that ought to delight your heart, how thankful you ought to be for verse 16, because verse 16 is talking about you, if you know the Lord as your own personal Savior. We are some of the other sheep that the Lord had in mind when he said, I've got other sheep, they're not of this fold, but I'm going to bring them, they're going to hear my voice, and there's going to be one fold and one shepherd. That's our Lord. And then verses 26 through 28. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What great truth we've looked at this evening. Sorry for that 2 Kings fiasco a few moments ago. I trust in the midst of that, you can set that aside, and this was a blessing. Great truth. Truth without a doubt. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and because he's God, he is everything. We need to look to him. We need to trust him. Not everyone knows that truth, and he's put us here on this earth to share that great truth with others that do not know him. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for the precious truth that we've seen this evening. In some ways, it seems so elementary, so foundational, but how solid and important. Lord, there's a lot of confusion about who God really is. Does God really exist? Who should we worship? Who has that right? Lord, it's you. You've made us. We're your people. We're the sheep of your pasture. And I pray we might live like yours. I pray these things in your name. Amen.